Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Most awakening experiences do not occur while in the informal sitting, but occur in the middle of the practice of daily life. Venerable Ananda, after the Buddha passed away, was practicing walking meditation throughout the night. He became tired, and when he went to lay down, his awakening occurred as his head touched the pillow. One of our Japanese Buddhist ancestors had been attending a sesshin, a week-long retreat, where he was concentrating on a particular koan and spending all his efforts meditating upon it. Then he had to go to the outhouse, and just as he was sitting on the toilet in the outhouse, the wind blew the door of the outhouse with a loud bang. And then for him, there occurred Kensho. You will note that there is nothing magical about the outhouse, and nothing magical about the circumstances of Ananda. Awakening does not come as a result of a particular cause, except for us dropping body and mind. When Reverend Master was in Japan, there was a great deal of emphasis put on the training of mindfulness in daily life. In The Wild White Goose, we have the various examples of the chief cooks that Reverend Master saw working, sometimes on their own, just doing what needed to be done. And also the times that they were pulling weeds and she went off by herself to think, when all the other monks who were also pulling weeds came and gathered around her and remarked to her that the time for cogitating on things is not the same thing as the time for digging weeds. The practice of mindfulness in daily life has many aspects. Especially not despising of ordinary activity and not valuing the life of the mind over the life of the body. It is paying attention to that, to the essential, to that which you need to do. It is not living at a distance from our own lives. It is what Dogen calls the dignified activity of the Buddhas and ancestors. It is doing what needs to be done, not just what one prefers to do. It is what is being referred to in the scriptures as activity that seems all foolish and dull to the worldly mind. When Reverend Master returned to the West, she had to deal with a number of attitudes of mind about spiritual practice that were not helpful. One of which had to do with picking and choosing regarding what one did and valuing each thing differently. When Dogen arrived in China, one of his first encounters was with a chief cook. The chief cook had traveled a number of miles on foot from his temple to the port city in order to obtain Japanese mushrooms, shiitake mushrooms, which were very much prized. They would have been dried. And he had a little talk with Dogen, encountered him, and that Dogen was very interested in how training was done in Chinese monasteries. So Dogen invited the old monk to stay and have a meal with him. But the old monk said, "No, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I didn't get permission to stay out overnight. And also, I have to get back because I am in charge of cooking the meals." Now, Dogen at that time had an attitude which is still very common. He said, "Why are you wasting time cooking when you could be practicing, sitting in Zazen, and doing the koans?" The old monk actually laughed at Dogen and said something like, "You poor foreign person, you really don't understand what this is about, do you?" There is a story of a teacher in Tibet in the 1200s who saw a disciple of his, an old man, circumambulating a stupa. So he went to the old man and he said, "Circumambulating the stupa is very good, but it would be better to practice the Dharma." So the old man thought, okay. So he next time was reading the scriptures. And the teacher said to him, "Reading the scriptures, reciting and reading the scriptures is very good, but it is better to practice the Dharma." And so the next time, the old man was sitting in meditation. And the teacher, much to his surprise, came up to him and said, "Sitting in meditation is good, but it is better to practice the Dharma." So the old man said, "What do you mean by practicing the Dharma?" And the teacher said, "Let go of attachment to this life." let go of it immediately. Let go of attachment to ambitions and fame and gain. One of the ways that the wrong attitude that I've been talking about manifests in the modern era is people think that only the life of the mind is worthwhile. I once heard a woman who was a professor say, nowadays, all life is basically the life of the mind. Because we have, you know, computers and et cetera, et cetera. And I remember thinking, I wonder who cleans her house for her. There is the tendency to despise, sometimes quite subtly, sometimes not, but to despise both the activity of labor and using one's hands and the people who do it. Dogen encountered another chief cook at the monastery who was drying mushrooms under the sun and who was poking them back and forth and moving them with a stick back and forth. And Dogen was sorry for the poor old man, and he said, why don't you get somebody else to do that? And the old man again thought and said, you don't really understand what this is about, do you? How can I give what is my job to another person? And Dogen said, well, at least couldn't you do it at some other time when it isn't so hot in the sun? And the old man said, well, what other time could I be doing it than now? He wasn't mean to be mysterious. When the sun was out and hot was the best time for drying out the mushrooms, and you had to keep on turning them. Dogen came from the aristocratic class in Japan. That meant 95% of the income of the country of Japan was dedicated to 1% of the population. And so he had, at the beginning, that subtle thinking that training was some particular thing. As a result of the instruction of the old chief cooks, Dogen, of course, changed his mind very much about this. Not living at a distance from our lives means not acting as if our lives were a play that we have written, but rather engaging with ourselves in daily life. Many people wish to write about their lives rather than engage with them. Many people want to keep a type of intellectual distance from the mud of their daily lives. And because this produces a sort of, what's the word, peaceful state, they think that that is the purpose of training. This applies to so many things at the present time. It's the case that one cannot look at any subject without finding that most of the people who write about it carefully avoid the actual experience or engaging in the subject. They prefer to study it at a distance. This goes for all sorts of subjects. They constantly write about things, putting those things through lenses. Without realizing that the lenses that they're putting through are not reflections of things as they actually are. They're another layer put on top of things. Rev. Master Jiyu used to talk about filters, seeing things through filters. I think she was referring to the sort of filters that were once used and maybe still are for taking photographs. And the filters are of different colors and, shall we say, different distortions of power. A lot of things are lenses. They are ways of looking at things. Buddhism, as a religion, is a lens. It's a means of looking at things from the viewpoint of liberation. And there are all sorts of political views, etc., which are very similar to that. They are means of looking at things. People fall down the rabbit hole, as it were, when they mistake the lens for the reality. Mistake a means of looking at things for the thing itself. Reverend Master Jiyu was very much taught in Japan things like, you know, digging the weeds and planting the garden. It is why new monks are generally, but not always, but generally put in to work in the kitchen. That is done because in the kitchen there is no escape into the abstract. If you're chopping vegetables and your mind is off into the abstract, then you may very well end up almost cutting your finger. This tradition is called Farmer's Zen for that very reason. As Dogen says, all activity may express the truth. Even wrong activity has the potential to teach. One of the reasons people have altars and put pictures or statues of bodhisattvas, like Kanzan, on them is because the images of bodhisattvas are done so that they indicate mindfulness. If you look at a good statue of Avalokiteshvara, holding the willow twig, pouring out the water. If you look at it very closely, you can see that it's drawn or created in order to illustrate complete focus on what needs to be done, non-distractedness, and what Dogen calls dignified activity. Particularly if you look at the finger mudras of these bodhisattvas and some buddhas, you will see complete focus and stillness. Often a mistake is made regarding mindfulness, and people think that it is applying a pleasant frame of mind to one's activities. Or they think that they need to shut off the thoughts. Or they think they need to, quote unquote, empty or clear the mind. But in fact, none of that is true. To simply apply one's mind what needs to be done, letting go of anything extraneous, bringing the mind back to what needs to be done. There are, of course, many ways of practicing this, and I can give you an example. From my own training, coming back from town, and I have receipts for what I have purchased. My inclination might very well be to think, oh, I will deal with this later. You know, I will either rest or I will do something else which is more important. I have trained myself, due to some experiences of mistakes made, I have trained myself that when I come back from town, I deal with the receipts. The same thing with the famous one of you can tell a lot about a person's training as to what they do with a door when they exit. Do in fact they close the door behind them? If they don't close the door behind them, then it is probably because they're expecting that they will be back in a few minutes. The same thing regarding leaving lights on in rooms, etc. But one does not know whether one will be back in a few minutes. I think we have all experienced leaving a stove on or leave an iron plugged in because we thought we would be gone just a minute. And then something else occurs and we forget that we have left the thing in the way that it is. Mindfulness when properly applied, is to be applied to these situations. If one applies one's mind in this way, then when one has left the house, one will in fact not have to say to oneself, did I or didn't I leave the thing plugged in? One will actually know, because one will have applied one's mind at the time of turning it off or unplugging it. There is a saying that, yes, it is true, there is awakening, there is wondrous experience, in Chinese it is put, the light of the Dharma is everywhere. The palace of the Buddha nature is within. They wish to go quickly so that their happy union may be soon. And then it says, there is indeed peace to be found. There is indeed clarity and wisdom to be found in training. But we have to do the practice that will cause them to manifest to us. It is not that there are no results to training. It is that we have to do the training, we have to do the work, which will make them reveal themselves to us. There is that reference to the lotus. The lotus, which has its roots in muddy water. There is a saying in the Buddhist world, if the water is too clean, the fish will die. This means that if training is idealized and separated from people's ordinary daily life, then there will be no opportunity to benefit from, shall we say, the mud of daily experience. The lotus stem of training draws its nourishment from its encounter with the dichotomy and difficulty of daily life. It is this which causes the stem to grow and eventually reach above the water and bloom. But if people despise their daily lives, then there will be no nourishment gathered from the mud. Sometimes a person's training goes completely awry due to over-idealized views of what training is. Rather than paying attention to what is in front of them, they indulge in criticism of other people in their own minds, judging circumstances, weighing circumstances. Picking and choosing continuously in the mind. Just as I've said before, that it can only be understood through practice. The way can only be understood through practice. The realization of the way is not far from us, but we have to let go of our clinging to it. While all our efforts are involved in clinging to things, there is no room for us to have empty hands, which then can receive the Dharma that is continuously manifesting itself in our daily lives. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.